First officer's log, stardate 41997.7. We are about to make a brief but necessary contact with the Harada, a reclusive insect-like race known for its idiosyncratic attitude toward protocol. The Harada demand a precise greeting, in this case, from Captain Picard. Their language is most unusual. The slightest mispronunciation is regarded as an insult.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Penske File. Penske here. We're listening, or what are we doing? We're watching. We're watching The Big Goodbye, which is a continuation of our Let's Watch of Star Trek The Next Generation. So The Big Goodbye is the 12th episode of Season 1. It's most noticeable for introducing the Dixon Hill character, who is the sort of detective, film noir detective that Picard picks up an interest in. So let's run through the let's get through who actually made this thing in the first place. So it was directed by Joseph L. Scanlon, written by Tracy Torme. You might remember Tracy Torme as the writer of Haven, which is what we watched in the last episode, for better or worse. And it was originally aired in January 11th, 1988. So let's get to the plot, and then we'll come back with our thoughts about this thing. The Enterprise heads to Torona 4 to open negotiations with the Haradin, an insect-like race. After practicing the precise greeting required for the negotiations by Haradin protocol, Captain Jean-Luc Picard decides to relax with a Dixon Hill story in the holodeck. Playing Detective Hill in the holo program, Picard takes up the case of Jessica Bradley, who believes that Cyrus Redblock is trying to kill her. Picard decides to continue the program later and leaves the holodeck to affirm their estimated arrival at Torona 4. He invites Dr. Crusher and visiting historian Dr. Whalen to join him in the holodeck. While Crusher is still preparing, Picard and Whalen are ready to enter the holodeck when Lieutenant Commander Data arrives, having overheard Picard's invitation. Entering the holodeck, the three discover Jessica has been murdered in Picard's absence. As Picard explains that he saw Jessica at his office the day before, Lieutenant McNary arrests Picard on suspicion of her murder. Dr. Crusher enters the holodeck and joins her friends at the police station. Meanwhile, the Enterprise is hailed by the Haradin. I think I'm calling this right. I think they are called the Haradin. I wasn't paying that much attention to their name. Haradin. It's like the Spanish pronunciation of Jaredin. I think it's Haradin, though. Anyway, they cause a momentary flicker of power when they appear. They demand their greeting and are insulted by having to talk to anyone other than Captain Picard. The crew try to communicate with Picard in the holodeck, but find it impossible. The Haradin signal has affected the holodeck's functions, preventing the doors from opening. Geordi LaForge and Wesley Crusher attempt to repair the holodeck system. While inside the holodeck, the group returns to Dixon Hill's office. Mr. Leech waits for Picard, demanding he turn over an object Jessica gave him. When Picard fails to understand, Leech shoots Dr. Whalen with a gun. As Dr. Crusher cares for his wound, Picard and Data recognize the holodeck is malfunctioning. They should at that point. They discovered safety protocols are disabled and unable to exit the program. Mr. Leech is joined by Redblock and continues to demand the object. Lieutenant McNary, wanting to follow up on the previous interrogation, becomes involved in the standoff. Picard tries to explain the nature of the holodeck to them, but Redblock refuses to believe him. Outside, Wesley finds that the holodeck may have converted the trapped crew as holographic signals. He cannot simply turn off the system for fear of losing the signal. Instead, Wesley resets the simulation, briefly placing Picard and the others in the middle of a snowstorm before finding themselves back in Dixon's office. With the reset successfully clearing the malfunction, the exit doors finally appear. Despite Picard's warnings, Redblock and Leech exit the holodeck and disintegrate once they reach the corridor. As they leave the holodeck, Picard thanks McNary for his assistance and tells him that this is the, quote, big goodbye. Dr. Crusher races Dr. Whalen to sickbay as Picard reaches the bridge just in time to give the proper greeting to the Haradin. The Haradin accept the greeting, heralding the start of successful negotiations. So that's the breakdown for the big goodbye. So let's, after this break, let's get into our thoughts about this episode.
This is Jean-Luc Picard, captain of the Enterprise. Klaxon, Ries, Blajblan, Arnik, Karnik. Trasvular. Trasvular.
You have honored us with your words of greeting. A new day dawns between us.
All right, so let's get into the big goodbye. Let's start off with the positives for this episode. I suppose a minor positive is that it introduces the holodeck, which would lead to a lot of sort of very split opinions about the episodes that feature the holodeck in the future. But the holodeck is a writer's tool to allow for wild sort of situations and settings and plots to occur. And a lot of time people are getting trapped on the holodeck and the programs are running wild. This is the very first introduction of that system, which would go on to... Is there a single good episode on the holodeck? I'm trying to rack my brains right now about what actually happens there that's good. I don't like any of the Moriarty stuff that happens later. There's a bad episode in one of the fourth season or something like that with Loxana. No, I don't think there's really anything good that happens on the holodeck. It's a good idea, but the execution always falls apart because it basically pulls the crew out of their normal situation and puts them into a stranger situation, which is not... It's always sort of a past, early 1900s kind of thing. Like there's a Wild West, which is a little earlier than 1900s, but... there's a Wild West idea in one of the episodes of Fistful of Data's. There are a few other ideas that happen like that. So I'm not really crazy about the idea of the holodeck, but it is important to be introduced here. It's introduced in Encounter at Farpoint, but this is the first episode that really deals with it in a major way. So outside of that, another good thing that I appreciate about this episode is that this is probably the first episode that had great guest casting. It's got Lawrence Tierney, who is fantastic in his role. It's got some other guys. Let's see, Gary Armagnac and Harvey Jason. I don't know any of them. I do know Lawrence Tierney. But it actually allowed the show to bring in some quality character actors who were playing roles that aren't unfamiliar at this point. It's not like people are sort of pretending that they're flying around in a spaceship. It's them actually doing sort of standard tropes of the film noir situation. And you know, Tierney is no stranger to that kind of thing, so he definitely crushes his role. He's intimidating. He's believable. He's the perfect sort of actor for this kind of role. And it's nice because we haven't seen that level of comfort with any of the acting that's happened so far in season one. So, I mean, besides the holodeck being introduced and the character acting was excellent, and just the general importance of what this episode means and introducing Dixon Hill and bringing the holodeck into the forefront. Outside of that, it's another Tracy Torme special. I've been sort of intrigued by reading about Tracy Torme, his sort of past. He wrote for Saturday Night Live before this, Saturday Night Live, which is strange. He wrote for Star Trek. His father is Mel Torme, which is also a strange kind of thing. He wrote for the Star Trek. He created Sliders, which I'm not too familiar with, but I've seen enough of. But this is his second episode of the season writing. I think his contract called for three episodes that he had to write. And this one is better than Haven, which is not particularly difficult. Haven's a pretty terrible episode. But this is not a very good episode in terms of the plot is silly. It also doesn't make a lot of sense in how the holodeck is introduced. So as we go through this, the first thing that doesn't really make any sense is Picard is set to introduce the Federation or greet be the sort of ambassador from the Federation to the Haradan, who are obsessed with perfect pronunciation and how they say things. So this podcast would not go well going to the Haradan. So anyway, and it just seems strange to me that Starfleet, who would have experience with introducing, you know, hundreds of races, if not thousands, they don't have a specialist who does this kind of stuff. It's up to Picard. He's sort of blundering through their incredibly difficult language that's super complicated and he can't get it, and Troy's trying to coach him through it, and he's very stressed out that he can't pull together in time. And it just seems strange that they would have a captain who's not a linguist or anything. He would be the one sort of responsible for what seems to be a very tense situation. So instead of that, they send him off for a break. Troy suggests that he use the holodeck, and here's the biggest problem with this episode. We've seen the holodeck before. We saw it in the pilot episode. We saw Wesley Crusher on the holodeck. We saw Data. Riker meets Data on the holodeck, of all places. And in this episode, they act as if the holodeck is a brand new invention. And it seems that the technology has been around for many, many years at this point. Everyone in the pilot was not impressed with the holodeck. It's never been mentioned before. It has a, you know, there's a bunch of them on the ship. It's not like it's a totally unfamiliar thing. They didn't just install this or anything. And when Picard uses this and then reports back in the conference meeting, it makes no sense to be received the way it was. It would be like if I came into your house and was like, have you heard of a microwave? It cooks food with no fire. Can you believe this? You'd look at me and just go, yeah, I know. Microwaves have been around for decades at this point. We're all well aware of what's going on. And we're expected to believe that Picard is apparently never used a holodeck before. They exist on the ship. He seems entirely unfamiliar with them, to the point where he needs other people to come on to the program and show it to them. And it brings the ultimate red shirt in this regard is this Dr. Whalen character who gets no introduction. He's supposed to be just an expert on the era, and he's on the ship for some reason. So Picard invites him to join him in the holodeck. And it is the ultimate red shirt thing where you're just like, who is this guy? I bet he dies. And you know, he comes close enough, but he makes it halfway through, gets shot, and then is never heard from again. He survives, I assume, but he is he's certainly not impactful on the rest of the episode. And I don't even know really why they needed a character who could get shot and injured and potentially die. So that's why Dr. Whalen is brought into it. But it's really it's a failure of the plot to understand the universe that these characters are living in. It doesn't make any sense that the holodeck is such a mystery to people. At the end, when they rescue them, it doesn't make sense that Wesley and Geordi are furiously trying to get this door open, and then the door opens and no one's out there. It doesn't make any sense for that to be happening. Are there multiple exits? It's never made clear. They're trying desperately to get Picard out. They're trying so desperately to impress the Haradan that Riker is willing to kill Picard and everybody else on the holodeck by asking Wesley Crusher to reset the holodeck. Because Wesley Crusher tells him that this could happen. They could all be disintegrated and fade off into nothing. And Riker is so obsessed with getting this race, the Haradan, to accept the Federation that he is willing to risk killing people just to have the chance to join the Haradan in some sort of unity. It doesn't make any sense. There's a lot of bullshit plot MacGuffins that people have thrown in here. There's no reason for this sort of urgency. Nothing is that desperate. It's not like the planet's going to end or anything. It's just that you're not going to make first contact with this race, which doesn't seem to be that big of a deal. No one else seems to really think it's that big of a deal. I don't know what this race is bringing or anything. And it also just, I don't know. It's a holodeck program that has logic problems. Doesn't really amount to much, in my opinion. It's an enjoyable enough episode to watch. I remember it being as a lot more happens than what actually goes on in this episode. Really, is they just get trapped and then they go to Dixon Hill's office and then a whole bunch of stuff happens to them, which is fine. But I remember it would have been nice if something had happened in the episode where they actually had to play through the role of Dixon Hill. They don't do that. They do that in later episodes because it's stronger writing. But in this episode, you would think that if you're trapped in this program, you have to play along with it, and they don't really. They deny immediately that they belong in this world. They tell the holodeck that it is fake. So they tell the computer of its own fakeness and non-awareness. Although the holodeck seems to be self-aware, which is another kind of issue with the thing. But I mean, it's just lazy. It's a lazy episode. It's not worth watching again. It's not an interesting enough introduction to the holodeck to have to watch it again. And yeah, that's pretty much it. I'm not crazy about this episode. It's a 2 out of 5. We'll go with a 2. It's not the worst thing I've ever seen. And the guest acting is fantastic. The first time they brought in some real outside acting talent, and it paid off besides Patrick Stewart and Spiner at this point, Data. But yeah, it's a 2 out of 5. Nothing too crazy. Let's see what some people have said. I have to check this out on Wikipedia. So 10.3 watched Haven, 11.5 watched this one when it aired in January of 88. Initial release, a review and TV guide criticized the episode for similarity to the original series A Piece of the Action, which featured a planet based on 1930s gangland Chicago. Although I think they're based in San Francisco in this one. It seems very much like Chicago, but I think they do mention that they're in San Francisco. Let's see. Keith Candido of Tor praised the stellar guest casting. Oh, that's nice. And said Tierney owned the episode. He certainly did. He's by far the best actor, besides Patrick Stewart in this. He compared the episode to The Maltese Falcon, said the episode featured charming performances by the entire cast, sort of. He gave the episode a score of 7 out of 10. Cast member Will Wheaton called the episode a fantastic collaborative effort, from Tracy's script to Scanlon's direction to Ed Brown's cinematography to every actor's performance. There's a reason The Big Goodbye is the only Star Trek episode to win a Peabody. Huh. No, it's surprising. He gave it an A. James Hunt said the risk of disintegration on the holodeck was insane and rectified in later episodes. He thought that the episode stood out for others in the first season due to the prototype holodeck story. The holodeck will break again and again over the years, but rarely in a way more interesting than this. Not that The Big Goodbye was particularly interesting, but it had the rare fortune of being first. I think I agree with that generally. Trek Nation praised the dialogue, felt the episode did not hold up to a lot of logical analysis, which is true in my opinion. Said it was a fun episode and set the stage for holodeck episodes later on. Writing for the AV Club, Zach Hanlon observed a certain flatness in parts of the episode and considered it very silly for the characters to slowly disintegrate after leaving the holodeck, which is, yeah, I think they changed that later on. Eventually, when characters throw holodeck projections out of the holodeck, they instantly disappear, which makes a lot more sense. He said the holodeck in The Big Goodbye was similar to an Xbox that periodically eats your cat. He gave the episode an overall grade of a B-. Yeah, so I'll give it a 2. I wasn't that impressed by it. It's a good idea, and it shows the writer's strengths in not writing for Star Trek universe when they bring in film noir that plays off as well as it did. Outside of that, really nothing much else to say about this. The appearance of the holodeck, and get used to it because the holodeck comes back again and again. Yeah, 2 out of 5. So thank you guys for listening. Thank you for clicking on this podcast that I'm going through all the episodes of Star Trek. If you liked it, please leave a like. Leave a comment if you have any comments about this episode. I don't think many people will. But thank you guys for listening, and I will see you next time with, what is the next episode after Big Goodbye? Datalore. Datalore is another introductory episode that maybe might not be as good, but it does lead to bigger things. So I will see you guys next time with Datalore. See ya.